Hello and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where we're incontinent but have learned to laugh about it as we discuss the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 168th episode in the series, Old Boyfriends.
I mean, I'm not incontinent, okay? Once I had a little my God. I really love, we've seen the whole like personals ads before, you know, Sophia looking in the obituaries and whatever, but I really love the focus, like the heavy focus on like she's just like, all right. You gotta find me a man. Like, let's go. You know, it's really great, and obviously, like, allows the writers to like flex their writing skills, and just you know, it like sneaks in a lot of fun jokes that can easily fit into the storyline without being too wacky for an actual character. You know, the elderly white male with a broken hip loves massages and bran muffins, and the book Final Exit. I looked, and the whole like, I swear I'll do it. Like I always laughed about that, but it's actually like the book Final Exit is a book about self-euthanasia. Oh, it's like even darker
Wow,
than
yeah,
that
that's
joke first
dark.
appears. Like, holy shit.
Deep cut.
So yeah, I mean it's pretty wild. I looked it up, I was like, oh Jesus, okay. So but yeah, I don't know. What do you think of this one? There's a lot to unpack here. I feel like it's two very complex kind of stories. In the A and B.
I also love the personals bit. I think like it's kind of, I'm sure we've said this, but it's sort of like the internet dating of its day of like, but
Yes,
early
yes.
internet dating, like pre-apps, I think, because it's still a
In
little
yes.
sort of taboo.
But also, yeah, also including the judgment that Dorothy puts on it, right? That's like a huge, yeah. Early internet dating was definitely like, and even I was like this. I was like, oh, I don't need that. I'm not gonna do that. I have standards, I have intelligence, I have class. I fucking love that joke. Not self-awareness, that's for damn sure.
it's so good. I don't know, the opening I feel like is actually a kind of even a little it takes a minute to sort of like get going until Sophia's like, well, that's a keeper. I think it kind of like takes off after
Yeah.
when Dorothy sort of steps in. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think this is an interesting episode. I think the Sophia story is obviously like quite heavy. But there's a which I'm sure we'll get into, but like the basic line of like, if we can all live together and be happy, like what's wrong with that? Which like I
Oh,
think
yeah.
really like the basis for arguing like any type of like quote unquote like alternate relationship. Like I think like
Correct.
people in poly or like open relationships or like even like queer relationships, I think like that's sort of like the very basis for it. So like if it's like consensual,
Yes.
it's like who cares? And I think like an arrangement like this is worth including in that conversation. I definitely want to sort of break that down. I will say the Thor story, while it makes sense that like you would forget somebody that you dated in high school, that totally makes sense. I think it's
Yeah.
again like quite like I don't know, brazen or like even like I might even use the word lazy of the writing to use this
Yeah.
exact storyline from two episodes of like Bill the Pharmacist, where like someone
It's
shows
funny,
up and
right?
you don't remember, and like there's lines that are like basically the same. Like Rose says something like, "Have I gotten so old that I like can't remember?" Or like he shows up and she has no idea who he is, and so they have to like,
Right.
"Did you have a nickname?" Like Lover Boy. It's too similar. So
It's hysterical. Yeah, you're right. Oh my God, the nickname thing. Holy shit. But yeah, you could almost hear Dorothy going, not a clue, like just at the same exact entrance point. And it was two episodes ago. It wasn't like you know, when we were talking about From Here to the Pharmacy, like it was, we were recalling other, like, you know, storylines and things that it was similar to, but it's hysterical that they are back to back almost, you know.
And like if even if Bill the Pharmacist was last episode, I think that would be or last season, I think that would be
Yeah, that'd be
fine.
fine.
It's just like so close to when we saw the same story, but
It makes you wonder if, like, in the writing room, they were basically like, oh, we should go this direction. No, we should go this direction, you know? And they sort of like took two,
yeah, they
like,
were like, we can use it
two
twice.
paths. I will
Less
say, though, like,
easier.
we always, you know, we talked about in the Bill episode that it is kind of like there is no, there's no real conclusion. Blanche has no fucking clue. She doesn't get her memory jarred. I do like how this one ends in the punchline of Rose's memory is jarred because of a terrible kiss. The delivery of the line there, like, almost makes the duplicativeness worth it. Like, it's kind of funny. But we don't get that sort of sense of satisfaction with the Bill storyline.
Yeah. And this one is also like, it's, I shouldn't say they're the exact same. It's different. And I think it's also different to see Rose kind of like feeling guilty, I guess, about like, presumably like one of the only like really mean things she's done in her life, which is like to use someone to make someone jealous, which isn't obviously like isn't good behavior, but like, you know, she was 16, 17, like she was coming out of like her 55th breakup, presumably. So like and that is totally realistic to me that like someone you was insignificant to you would come back into your life and like you were really significant to them. And that is totally, you know, like I buy that. Thor is creepy as hell though.
Totally. Yeah. I really like had seen, you know, of course seen this episode many, many times and like thought like, you know, I guess I was supposed to feel the way that you're supposed to feel with Thor, which is just like, you know, he's like a dud kind of guy. And like, he's overeager and he's weird. So obviously like there was no real attraction there. And like the most unattractive thing about him is how much he's into Rose when she's not even into him at all versus can't, and also can't remember him. But he has that line where he goes, "I finally come to take you back home with me." And then that line kind of stopped me in my tracks this time around. Like, I don't know. When you had watched this before, did you always get that kind of creepiness from him? Or was that something that came as you've rewatched?
I totally agree. I thought he was like, like overeager, honestly, kind of like a sympathetic character.
Right.
Pathetic. Like, it took him 9 years to save up the bus fare to Miami.
I know, Jesus, what do you do, man?
I hope you have enough to go home.
Was he gonna pay for Rose's way home too? Maybe that was what it was. He had to get like a round trip ticket as well as an additional ticket.
Right. That's you know, that could be significant. I think it's like, I don't think I ever got that vibe from him before. That I agree. That line is so creepy and weird. And like, also, Rose has a life. Like, what do you, even if she were into you and like wanted to date you, like, that's so presumptuous. And like, she moved to Miami from St. Olaf to like not live there anymore. You know, like, it's just, it's so, such a, like a clinger, like creepy, maybe like actually scary kind of line to say. I agree. I always thought he was like, I never, you know, loved him, but I think my feelings about him changed watching it this time than they have in the past, for sure.
Yes. It's like red pill shit, you know, like of like, this woman's like my property, and like she clearly, of course, feels the same about me. But like, not only that, but the extrapolation. Listen, you can have lovely memories from like your first loves, your first kiss when you were younger. Like, everybody has those little like what ifs and crushes and other things like that. But like, man, you can't be like living in that past and in your brain so much so that like you're just absolutely assuming that someone who has literally lived, not only has it been 9 years since her husband died, but how fucking old are you guys now, right? It's been a long ass time, many, many decades. And yeah, it's just like the presumption is so strong. And there's clearly like a gender role, like, I'm gonna take you with me. Yeah, it's like, I hate it.
I would say it like approaches stalking almost. Like,
yes,
why do you know
yes.
where she lives after this amount of time? And like, why have you been trying to like keep up with her? And also, how have you been doing that? Because it's not, you know, there's no like Facebook, like you're not seeing,
totally.
Like, you have to put some effort into that. And like, yeah, I think it's totally normal to even like pine for like someone that you were, you know, into a long time ago. And like, if you happen to be in Miami, like, of course, look her up. Like, you know, obviously like Mr. Gordon has other problems, but like, it's not creepy when he reaches out to Dorothy because he's in Miami and she's in Miami.
Yeah.
So, like that, this though, like coming here for a person and and just like coming in with these expectations and this like Yeah, almost like uncontrolled devotion is, it's
Yeah.
creepy. It's like too much.
It's too much. And also now I'm just now realizing, I'm like, oh my God, we just came off of like a very heavy Miles and Rose are partnered and
Right.
intensely like together, and he's like not in this at all. There's not even like a use of him as a deflection.
Right.
Kind
Yeah. She's the one who should
of
have a detective watching her.
real, right? Oh my God. But not only that, like if she's trying to shake the dude, like invite him to dinner too, bro. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's very
Yeah,
crazy.
he could do the whole buzz thing.
Exactly.
Your
So you
buzz.
are Thor. Oh gosh. But yeah, anyway, it's really I was just taken aback by how much he turned for me. And I mean, a lot of this is obviously me being older, but like also learning about like the, you know, the sort of power levers that men pull based on thinking that women are property, et cetera. And like thinking, of course, that like, you know, this guy who presumably, yeah, he's not doing very well financially. He's been in St. Olaf his entire life. Like he doesn't exactly have much exposure. And if he is getting, if he is so obsessive, he can't expose himself to anything else anyway, right? Like if
Right.
you're so hyper focused on something, right? And it's like, yeah, the level of obsession of just like,
Yeah.
I don't know, there's almost like you could really do like this profile on him, especially when he's like, I got beat up a lot as a child, right? Like for being made fun of for the way he is. Like you can see this motherfucker snapping, like, and ha like being like a mass shooter,
He's like
honestly.
an original incel.
It's so crazy.
Thor the
And
incel.
I never thought Skipper, you know,
Yeah, I like
I
to
really, I
skip.
mean, holy shit. Oh God, it's incredible. So yeah, it really is it's a very wild storyline that I never would have thought, especially when he's like 9 years, 9 years. I mean, it's supposed to be funny, but
Yeah,
it's
that
really
is
weird.
nuts. Yeah, and that totally, yeah, it does feel very like male rage pent up because the woman that he wanted didn't want him. Like, who knows what he did after? We're
Dude.
obviously really tearing into Thor,
I
and
know.
putting a lot of modern damage on him, but it totally checks out.
It does. It does. Exactly. So, but you know, he recedes gracefully. So
Sure.
I'm appreciative at the end of it. And he turns more pathetic at the end, right?
Yeah.
Where like again to me, where he's just like, okay, I can survive on this kiss, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's rough. It's
Take a
really
lesson, Reddit.
rough.
4chan,
Oh God,
guys.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, well let's delve into the other wild world of relationships. I love that line that you quoted where it's basically like, you know, if we can all be happy together, not alone, what's wrong with that? Because I love that line as the crux of this episode. I never even thought, especially when we have all of the discussion, all of the scholarly discussion we talk about with the Golden Girls being a queer allegory, is like that line's perfect. It's so perfect to fit that. And it's like
Yeah.
that this episode is never cited in that way towards that you know, the queer family, like chosen family type of arrangement when we talk about this show. So I love it. And thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, no, and I think it's like it applies to like friendship and like the unconventional, any like unconventional like living
Yes.
situation. Like, yeah, no, it's super simple. I want to talk about another line, which is like, I'm sorry, but I already know Jesus.
Oh my God, with the pamphlet that she's holding, it's perfect.
Unbelievable. They actually said in Jim Colucci's book, they talk about how that's like one of the funniest lines they've ever wrote, and that the audience, when they delivered it, B. Arthur had to do that bit three times because the audience was like laughing too
Oh my
much
God,
over the theme.
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I mean, just shows how common like the door-to-doors were back in this era,
Yeah.
right?
God,
I
what
mean, there are
a time.
incredible lines in this one. Like, I mean, everything is
Yeah.
just, again, you know, we talk about Dorothy, we talked about the last episode of Dorothy being somewhat of like a just a manic pixie dream Dorothy, like driving the plot for everyone else. And like, she's a little bit more involved here because she is trying to insert herself into like the Sophia situation to quote unquote sort of save her. But like, you know, there's so many classic ones like that. I do have a toast. I predict nothing but disaster and tragedy. You're never connected with this travesty of an idea. Oh God, it's so funny. But like, you can see that, you know, she's protecting her, and like, you know, the whole like, you want my mother for sex games, the slut is dead, long live the slut. Like, she does have a lot of interesting commentary, you know, in this episode that does drive the plot, but she also is very, very fucking funny.
Yeah, no, super funny. And the very, like, this is like a bit of a foreshadowing, but when they show up together, like, it's weird if you believe the story that Sarah's Marvin's sister, like, you just take it on its head, like, that's still weird. And Dorothy says, like, I always dreamed my mother would meet a nice couple or something like that. And like, yeah, you have no idea what happened.
Totally, which I always thought was funny on all the rewatches, because I'm like, oh, it's a joke, but then like, it's a joke that the writers are in on, not the audience, right? For seeing this for the first time. I thought that was really hilarious.
Yeah.
But you're like, that's exactly why you know, they're like planting that there, essentially.
Yeah. The Sophia and Dorothy kind of like getting it to get like figuring it out together, like, obviously, like, you don't get any lemonade is like classic Golden Girls canon, but like,
oh God, so great.
Mrs. Caligula, like, that is gold. That is so funny.
Oh my God, it's so good. But like, pull up a whip.
Yeah, the quickness of the delivery is amazing.
It's really good.
Like, you wanted my mother for sex games, like, following up on that, like,
unbelievable. It's not that unbelievable.
Dorothy's not my daughter, she's my lesbian lover.
Oh my God, I love when Dorothy just goes, I'm getting you a plant.
Yeah. I know, it's so funny.
it's really great. And I think, like, going back to the serious bit where you know, the reveal sort of happens and Sophia just goes, I'm gonna do it immediately. I love when Sophia gets to be the serious one when everyone else is sort of laughing, because Dorothy's like, what a couple of loons, blah, blah, blah. And you can see, if you watch, you know, Estelle Getty in that scene, like, she's sitting on the couch and she's thinking very seriously, right? And it's great. And it's like, you actually have that, like, I don't know, it rings very true to me when somebody would be deep in thought about that, where she's not even really affected by, not affected by Dorothy saying what a couple of loons and all that other kind of stuff, but like her like brow like lowers, and you know, she's like, says it pretty fiercely of just like, no, I made my decision, like, we're gonna be happy and there you go. And I actually love how she turns. She doesn't turn because she meets them and thinks they're even weirder. She meets them and she understands like how much love that they actually have, and she's reminded of Sal. And I think it's like, it's so lovely. I think it's really, really awesome to bring the storyline back around that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think I honestly, like, Dorothy's like fierce opposition to this is, I think, illustrative of a thing that happens a lot with a lot of people, actually, is like this kind of like forward thinking, like, openness. Like, one, Dorothy's like, she's, you know, a progressive thinker, but I wouldn't call her like a revolutionary. Like, she's still got some traditionalists beliefs.
Yes.
And so I think even when she's willing to like accept this or like entertain the idea for this for someone else, when it's Sophia in particular, or like, I imagine anybody like in her close orbit, like, it's much, she just like automatically like is like a staunch no. And Dorothy's got a stubborn streak for sure. And so I think like, it's interesting because it's obviously not like it's not focused on like this character flaw of Dorothy's, but it's really good writing, I think, and really good understanding of the character that like, it's funny, like, her opposition is all like, everything she says is funny about it, but like, it's rooted in like a protective nature of Sophia and also like a stubbornness and unwillingness to like,
open her mind
here, and open her mind. Yeah, totally. So I think that's like a pretty good like character study.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's like, what happens with traditional structures, right? And like traditional conservative thinking is that you don't even think something could be a question. I think that's what's the most fascinating thing about it. So I think it's like, if I'm trying to balance of like how much percentage wise is her trying to be protective of Sophia and how much of her is just sort of anti the arrangement, because she literally says, what a couple of loons, right? She thinks it's actual absolutely crazy when, like, I don't know, to you and me, you're just like, seems weird. Yes, it's weird, but like, I don't think it's that insane. Actually, what's really fascinating, I don't even have this in my notes, but I completely forgot to mention it, is that a couple of years back, Amy Krauss Rosenthal is an author, and she was diagnosed with some sort of terminal cancer. And she put a, she had like an opinion piece or some article in the New York Times called like, "You Should Marry My Husband," or something along those lines. And like, it was actually, I mean, you should look it up. It's actually kind of a fascinating piece. And it's exactly this. It's her being like, he's an amazing guy. Like, this is like, I'm worried. My biggest thing is I'm worried about him when I'm gone. Right. And it's literally this exact storyline. And it's funny because one, it was in the New York Times, and it's not exactly known for like its bendy thinking on, you know, like subversive thinking on traditional things necessarily, but because it was presented in a context that you know, Eliot Powell would say is in the charm circle of acceptable weird arrangements, because, you know, she was like a white woman, a fairly wealthy, you know, author in the New York Times, whatever. But and it was tongue in cheek, right? It wasn't like a want ad,
right?
But it was like, it was still commenting on this exact situation. And I think that's funny because to me, like, Dorothy isn't even, she, like, to your point, like, she's not even thinking, she just has a knee-jerk reaction to this is weird, therefore it's wrong, right? And I think that that's funny, because to me, if she had read many decades later, you know, or maybe not many, just a few decades later, Amy Krauss Rosenthal's like New York Times thing, she would actually kind of entertain it more as an idea and like have it as a discussion point, you know, with some crossword doing friend that she meets.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think like this also gets into, you know, like our societal relationship to death and like accepting death and like terminal care and things like that. And I think that there are, I think I maybe have talked about this. This has also been covered in the New York Times, but there's this relatively, it's not new, but I think it's like newly entering sort of the mainstream of death doulas, who are basically like people who help the family or like the terminally ill person or whomever like needs some basically like death focused therapy that's like, you know, like short term, like get through it and sort of like talk about like, how can we make this not a taboo thing to talk about or to accept? And I think it obviously, like, when you lose someone, like, it's always hard, but it does kind of like ease it, and particularly ease, like, I think it eases this period of time when you're living with the knowledge that like you are dying, like for Sarah and for Marvin too. I also just think like the main other problem that I have with Dorothy's position is like, couldn't Sophia and Marvin sort of like bond about like, you know, being widowed and like having, you know, this common, this shared
like her experience? And Max.
Yeah, exactly.
That's and where like, her and Max end up. Exactly. Yeah.
And even her and who's her friend from the boardwalk? I'm blanking on his name.
Alvin.
Yeah, Alvin. Like, you know, like they bond over this like, you know, terrible experience that people in this age bracket often have. And
correct.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just it's so surface level here, but it's actually like a really, really heavy concept that is understandable. Like, it is weird to trick somebody. It feels like I feel like there was a, on Tinder, there was a lot of straight couples who were looking for like a third, and you would like, they would advertise it, though, I guess is the point. And like, this feels like some sort of like weird version of that. You're trying to trick someone into that you think is like you're dating, but actually like it's just a couple that wants a threesome. Like, it's just a couple that wants a wife for the husband. So I don't know. It's super, super complicated. And I like that the initial reaction is like shock and like, you know, kind of like maybe like a little bit of anger and disgust, but then yeah, like, yeah, to your point, when Sophia's like, yeah, I'm gonna do it, like it feels very real and like totally like yeah, like understandable.
Well, because, like, you know, she comes in and gives sort of the explanation for it, right? And then I think that that makes the most sense. But yeah, at first, like, you know, Sophia is trying to parse what's actually happening. Have I been tricked? Like, what's going on? You know, where she's like, Dorothy, you can come in now.
An unsuspecting after, like, cutie like
would
me.
Would anyone here? Get out, get out, get out. I mean, such great stage presence. Oh my god, we're just walking in and walking right back. Oh, so great. But yeah, I think that they're, I think it makes sense because it's in a way like Sophia has also been, because she's had this experience, because she's been a widow, because she's also bonded with other people, as you say, like she is way more open to this because it's triggering the heartstrings piece. She's not seeing it as a weird relationship structure. She's seeing it as like, this man is about to lose some love and care, and sure, boy, I could use some too, you know.
Like, yeah, totally.
Just companionship. It is interesting though to me where, I mean, it's nice that they do paint the picture where she says she likes him a lot, right? As opposed to just like generic kind of dude, and she does the my heart's racing thing. It's very adorable. But it is funny because there is this vacillation. Of course, we will see it in the final episode. I can't believe it's vaguely soon. Like, of the I live with my friends and family versus like I live with a partner, right? And sort of like the deciding that. And it's like, yes, it's a different type of companionship, surely. But it's kind of interesting to me of like Sophia considering this arrangement where it's like, yeah, she's like, I don't know. What I'm getting at is I basically is like, all right, she's envisioning. So then, yeah, Sarah's gone. And then, you know, her and Marvin are like an item. And yeah, they'll probably sleep together, like, you know, act like a couple. And then she's like almost like put off from that at the end because of how in love they are, because she knows she can never replace Sarah. But I wonder also if she's just like, it would actually make her like this weird second fiddle, or like, would he even be ready to like even play act as a couple after that? You know, I don't know. I'm just sort of exploring it as I'm talking about it here, but there is this like decision-making of like, does she have the companionship and the lack of loneliness, like getting everything she needs or almost everything she needs, I guess, from living with like her daughter and Blanche and Rose, or like, you know, is there like some sort of like dangling another life in which she is, you know, married again, I guess, or partnered again.
Yeah. No, and I mean, so, I would say this, but I think there is a bit of like a, like if after Sarah dies, like they want to reconnect, like that would be lovely. But yeah, I think it's like, I think the whole like you can never replace someone you lost is totally like a good, you know, that's a very simple but good line. And it's also
it
like
is.
Point I think like reflecting on like, yeah, he's gonna need a bit of time, and also like Sarah can't force him to process it before it happens, and like the impulse, right, obviously, like the motivation
or the way she wants him to process it,
right? Like it's so lovely and it's so well intentioned, but like he just wants to be able to live and grieve. And like it is funny though, like the one sort of like funny thing he says is when Dorothy like has her whole disaster and tragedy, he's like, she won't be living with
she's
us.
She's not gonna be living with us. I know. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh god. I also I love that you know, like we're just like, I feel so guilty for leaving you, and he goes, don't, I'll be along soon enough. Oh, always gets me. Where you're just like, yeah, man, old people, dude, it's happening. It's gonna happen. Like it's fucking rough. Like we have to you have to talk about it. You have to acknowledge it. So, and I also think like their encyclopedia story is really cute. Like they really do a very good job with like this window into their world and what they're grappling with, which is really adorable. So
yeah.
But yeah, both actors are great. I'm really happy that we like get to see them in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who plays Marvin, he's in The Godfather, and he's also
The
in
Godfather.
Moonstruck, famously.
Yeah.
And the woman who plays Sarah, So it's Betty Garrett, who plays Sarah, who was a sixth grade Broadway veteran. And she was on, she was in movies. She was on Laverne and Shirley. And then Louis Gus, I think is his name, who was, what's his name? Marvin. It's just, it's so, it's, you know, it's such a great, they're so well cast. They have such good chemistry, actually, the two of them.
They do.
I think it's really, really like a lovely story. And it is like, it is really emotional. And like, yeah, I don't know. It's like odd that the heavy storyline isn't really on one of the girls. Like Sophia is obviously part of this, but like, the actual sad thing.
She's still looking in and out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like they have the comments and they're looking in from the outside afterwards. But like, yeah, it's just really, it like you said, it's about somebody else. Like, it's funny because it's about somebody else, but it doesn't feel like the Mary story.
Yeah,
it doesn't right, feel exactly. like, you know, emptiness or whatever. It's yeah, that's really kind of funny. But I love that. And I really love the idea of this arrangement. I love the idea. I love how it comes to Sophia. I love that, you know, we get just to paint a picture of like, even though they end up in the story here deciding against the arrangement, I don't think it necessarily would be flawed, or they're leaving the door open to say it could work for other people. It's just not going to work for the two of them. They weren't on the same page, you know? But yeah, I also like when we first meet Marvin, they like it now when you look back at the storyline, right? Where it's funny because it's like he's just so not into that. It's just like here, Sophia goes, hey, talk.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty great. And the way he gets really upset when she's like insulting Sarah, like it's really adorable, you know?
Yeah.
It all works. It works for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super cute. I also love when Sophia's talking about how much she likes him. She's like, it's a race between me and the blood clot in his leg.
Yes. Oh, God.
That's perfect. Funny.
It's really funny. The very end where she talks about like the next time I answer an ad, it'll be from one of Blanche's magazines. Those people know what they want.
Yeah, that's
the delivery
so
of that, where she starts speeding up towards the end and then like turns to walk away. Oh my God, it's perfect. And it caps it off really well with the whole you know, the personals ads that we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. When Estelle Getty starts delivering things kind of like rapidly, it's so funny. The only other thing I wanted to spend a little bit of time on is the 56 boyfriends conversation and the whole like,
oh my gosh, stuff. Yes.
So like I think I could like recite that whole scene from memory. And it's very funny, like the reveal and like Blanche kind of like, you know, sort of like sitting with it and like being shocked and also like dethroned a bit, I guess. But
yes.
I watching it this time, like it honestly didn't hit for me as much as I thought it was going to. It was like too much of the word slut, and like it felt like trying to be subversive in a way that like not even subversive, but like it just felt a little
like shamey.
Yeah, like shamey and also just like cheap. Like I didn't find it to be like as funny as I have in the past.
Interesting. Yeah,
like just like looking at it with a critical eye. Yeah, I honestly was like, it's literally too much use of the word slut, I think.
Yeah. That must be it. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's, yeah, the whole like, she's the easiest woman in this room. Like, it's like, it is funny, but I actually, in watching it again, I appreciate that it is a number that is literally more than one boyfriend a week. Right. Like, it's actually like such an obscene amount that like, if you were going to use the word slut and be like, and with slut, of course, implies too many, right? Like it implies like you are going overboard. Then I actually agree that it's like, then in that use and the justification of it without the gross misogyny attached, like, yeah, that's probably too many boyfriends. That's too many like different dates, even, you know, like you can't, how can you even possibly juggle that, right? Like in terms of like actually doing a service, like, of course that there are people that you have left in your wake, like Thor, because you had to have used them. There's no way you can be like that emotionally invested in that many people, right? In that short period of time, I think. So I think, like, I appreciate the fact that it's like such an obscene number for a 52-week year that, like, they at least go a little bit overboard with it. But I hear what you're saying of, like, it does feels very 90s. It feels like,
yeah,
when you, like, watch a bunch of 2000 movies and they're like, yay, you know, like, it's, yeah, just like, totally. Okay, yeah, it's like it's not the best. But I really, the tables turning, well, obviously Blanche being dethroned is, like, the best part of it, but the tables, yeah, turning of, and we've seen this before where it's like the same thing, where, like, sleeping with Charlie every morning and every night, and, like, we, you know, where, like, Rose has the whole, like, in my experience, people who talk about it the most don't get as much, you know, kind of thing, which I really love that. I really love the innocent Rose going, like, oh, 56, you know, like, I like her not realizing that this is actually a remarkable story to share and mention to, like, her best friends. I really still love that part because Betty White plays it so well, and because, like, she says things like, boy, do I ever. Now you stop that. You just stop that. play against type, I guess, you know?
Yeah. No, it's really, it is funny. Like, I want to, you know, clarify that. I do think it's funny.
Oh, but, no, yeah. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. It just, like, I don't know. I guess also I probably have seen it so many times that it's like, you know, like, I just, like, the opinion on it has evolved a bit, but yeah, no, it is funny. And I think it also, like, when Rose talks about, like, when I think Rose is like, you can have a boyfriend without having to go all the way, and Blanche is like, you cannot.
Yeah, you cannot. I know. Oh my god. I think also obviously the word sluts is, like, said the most by Dorothy in that scene, and I also think, like, upon reflection now of all the lines that she says, like, it could be smarter. Like, the, you know, Dorothy usually has smarter, like, more punchy lines, like, and she's just sort of saying slut over and over again because she knows that, like, Blanche is going to get to Blanche, right? Where it's like, it's going to hit a little differently with Rose saying that word because Blanche has sort of, like, reclaimed it, I guess. But yeah, like, Dorothy usually has, like, I don't know, wittier lines, like, better commentary,
yeah,
to share.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's totally, yeah, what.
It's so funny. The only other thing I had was one of the lines that we missed with Marvin's, you know, personal van in particular, where he's like, I like waking up in the morning. It's like, it's not even supposed to be that funny, but I laughed so hard where you're just like, I'm boiling life down to, like, its simplest this
year. Yeah.
I like still being alive.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, God. Anyway, you got anything else?
No, I don't think so. No, I think we covered it all.
it's a wacky one, but it's a very good one. So, because it's complex.
Yes.
But next is, I'm very excited. So join us next time when we're going to discuss the grandpa from Charles in Charge and stereotypical gender roles in same-sex couple. Take care, everyone.